Hey, welcome to Equippers Church Sermon of the Week. My name is John Sparrow. I'm the lead pastor here at Equippers Church, and I'm thrilled you're tuning in. I believe the message you're about to hear is going to encourage you, inspire you, and equip you for life. If you'd like to know more about Equippers Church and ways to partner with us, please visit equipperscc.com. God bless.
It is Palm Sunday, and I'm so excited to speak on the subject of Jesus making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And this kicks off for us Holy Week, and we haven't, as a church, really practiced necessarily following any sort of program for Holy Week, but this year I was just a bit stirred by what this really means and how it matters and affects our lives. And sorry, before I keep going much further, there's something that really moved me this morning. So can you take a pause right there? Remember what I was talking about? Now I'm not talking about that anymore. Look, guys, that Lifeline pregnancy walk on April 27th is more than just an announcement we make. I realize that abortion is a big issue at the moment. It's on a macro scale, it's affecting the world. And what I love is when we have opportunities on a micro level to actually have influence on something that's happening on a micro scale, right, on a macro scale. And so we have influence right here in town to be a voice for those who don't yet have a voice. And we won't get into the politics of all that, but I will say I have a daughter whose mother went to Lifeline Pregnancy and made a decision to keep that baby so she could live. And so Lifeline Pregnancy has been directly affected my life. If you guys don't know our story, we adopted last month, and our little girl's here because the help of Lifeline Pregnancy Center. And so I couldn't be more thankful for that impact they've had on our community. And so make sure to show up and show your support for what's going on there. It's a great organization with some wonderful people. Cool. Remember what I was talking about before? Unpause. Here we go. Resume. Palm Sunday. We're going to go through the text this morning, but before we do, would you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for your presence. We wouldn't go without you, and we couldn't do it without you. And so we ask this morning that you would lead us. Holy Spirit, we give you full permission to be our guide into truth. And we know, Holy Spirit, what we do best is exalt Jesus. So God, I ask, beyond anything I could say, beyond a song we sing or anything that's communicated from this platform, we ask that Jesus would be exalted in our midst. For those who don't yet know you, God, I ask this morning that you would generously pour your spirit out on them, that there would be an encounter today. I ask, God, like just in Acts chapter 2, as each person heard in their own tongue this morning, no matter what comes out of my mouth, God, I trust that you're interpreting it for each person and their need and their situation. And we ask that your kingdom come, your will be done in this Clark Center today as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. We're going to reference out of the book of Mark. And before we go to that slide, the book of Mark is special. They say Mark is the first one to actually give it a go at writing a gospel. So chronologically, Mark was the first account of Jesus. And I like it because it's concise. It's, I believe, 16 chapters. It's the shortest of the Gospels. And how many can appreciate that? Like, let's get to the point, brother, right? And actually, people who study this would say that other Gospels, the three other Gospels, would have taken the account of Mark and then interpreted their own experience through what Mark had already written. So I believe it's profound. And what's really cool about the book of Mark is that he actually gives us an eight-day progression of this Holy Week, starting from Palm Sunday, which is today, the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. And there's actually accounts every single day up to the resurrection. Because it says things like this in chapter 11, it said, when they're approaching Jerusalem, that was on Sunday. And then on Monday, it says, on the following day. And then on Tuesday, it says, in the morning. Wednesday, it was 2 days before the Passover. Thursday, on the first day of unleavened bread. Friday, as soon as it was morning. And Saturday, it was the Sabbath. Sunday, very early on the first day of the week. And so Mark actually gives us a great glimpse and view into how Jesus spent the last 8 days of his earthly ministry and life before paying the highest price, being crucified and then raising from the dead, which is good news. So let's go. We're gonna start with day one. We're just going to cover day one here. This is Palm Sunday, and we've got it in the Bible in the sky if you need it. Mark chapter 11, starting verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' aka, 'Why are you stealing my donkey?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. We're just borrowing.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?'" Isn't that funny? "They answered, 'As Jesus had told them to,' and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields," where we get Palm Sunday. "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." So Jesus asked a few of his guys to go essentially steal a donkey. The Lord has need of it. And he hops on the donkey and starts marching into town. And we've heard this story, and it's profound in a lot of ways that hopefully we'll unpack this morning. But I hope that beyond just the historical account and significance of it that way, that this would give us a great glimpse of Jesus. That we're going to learn today about the character, the nature of a God who is peace. A donkey represents peace. And he chose to institute his kingdom and ride into his destiny in peace, knowing full well what the next few days would behold, ultimately going to the cross and giving his own life. And so first, I think it's really important to understand the significance of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was and is the epicenter of faith. It's the Holy Land. It's where the action was and is. And it for a long time was ruled by Israel, and then there was it was ruled by the Greeks, and then the Maccabee brothers, who I talked about at Christmas, they were like this awesome dynamic duo who raised up a revolt and overthrew the Greeks and got their nation back. How cool is that? Right? That's funny. Anybody want to be that? Do that? Let's get our nation back. As if it went somewhere. And then a few years after that, didn't last a really long time, the Romans gained control again. And when the Romans came in, they came in hot. They came in with force. They came in with military presence. There was this deep oppression that fell on the nation and on the people. And for a long time, Jewish people had right to their own land. And so whether you just inherited land over generations, if I bought a piece of property, there's nothing that would ever revoke that property from me. It's mine, and it's my family's. And so because of that, people were able to prosper because you made money off of your land. And so there was health, and there was prosperity. And we'll talk a little bit about why the people said that they attributed this new kingdom to the kingdom of David, because David, when he ruled as king, the nation flourished. There was justice and truth, righteousness. There was human flourishing under his leadership. And then his son Solomon built this beautiful temple. And so these people had been longing for their nation back. It's like, remember the days of David when there was righteousness and justice and the people could flourish in their own land. Remember those days. And so that had been robbed from them. It had been taken. Because the Romans instituted these laws and codes where they could confiscate land from the Jews. Just over minor details. They could go into someone's property and dispute over something that's really minor and actually gain control of their land. And so they began this really significant progression of this in Jerusalem, where soon the wealth and the plenty, the land, belonged to a few. Just a few wealthy people with a lot of power. and it forced the Jews to now serve the few wealthy. They essentially went back to Egypt. Right? In Egypt, they were slaves to Pharaoh. They were making bricks and building towers. But now, again, they're at the mercy of this powerful government, this oppressive society. And so the people were ready. The people were waiting. They were ready for a king. And it's significant to know that this is Jesus' first appearance in Jerusalem. This is the capital. This is the epicenter of where all the action is. This is where the Passover happens. And all of Jesus' ministry was happening in rural towns, peasant villages. Why? Why wouldn't Jesus go to the cities? Why wouldn't he go to the place where there's greatest influence? It's because the peasants were ready. Like, the peasants needed to hear this message that there was another way. There's a new kingdom. There's higher principles beyond the oppression that they had been living under. And so Jesus, it's funny when you actually look at it, he really spent his time with peasants, with just people who, like him, probably didn't have a place to rest their head, and they were attending to someone else's wealth, and they were kind of nobodies in society, which I think is beautiful. I'm thankful living in a rural village in our modern society that something significant can come out of a rural town on the central coast of California. Come on. Right? And so Jesus had spent his ministry with peasants, and they had been under great oppression from the government. And Mark, in his gospel, he talks about the kingdom of God. It's never about Jesus and his ministry, if you look at it. Like, people try and get out of Jesus, tell us who you are. And he doesn't go there. Even in that last account, when Pilate asked, who are you? And Jesus says, I am. The actual translation of that correctly is, am I? Like, he doesn't even allude to himself as the Messiah. What he always points to in the book of Mark is the kingdom of God. I'm here for a kingdom. I'm here for a new vision. I'm here to overthrow the societies and powers of this world to give justice to the peasants, which is awesome. And so we pick that up knowing that Jerusalem is so profound in this story. And the reason why he doesn't use family of God or community of God, which these days our language is more like that. Welcome to the community, and we're a family, and that's great. But Jesus had to use the term kingdom because it was a secular term, and the world knew full well that this corrupt, they knew of the corrupt kingdom that they were living under. And so when they heard of this kingdom of God, kingdom of, like, you mean there's another way? Yeah, there's another way, a different kingdom, a kingdom that's not of this world, that kingdom. And so it was great imagery and illustration for them to be able to relate this new kingdom to the coming kingdom of God. He came with a kingdom of peace, and people were excited because of the resemblance to how King David once ruled. Under King David, there was justice, righteousness, and flourishing. The nation was awaiting a king who would rule like David, which is why Jesus would be called the Son of David. And so to paint the picture now, picking up at this procession of Jesus on a donkey, you can go to that next slide. What was happening here is across town, in the West, Pontius Pilate was parading in on this same day. He would be paraded in as Caesar in just a way to kind of stir things up a little bit. And he knew that the Passover was a celebration that the Jews had to celebrate their coming out of slavery before. And so now him being the ruler, like, he didn't want to be another Pharaoh, you know? So he wanted to make sure that there was control. He had a really strong military presence in Jerusalem during the Passover feast. And so he was being paraded in across town, same time, simultaneously. Here comes Jesus in the east, in the west. Here's Pontius Pilate being paraded in. And you can only imagine that procession. There was horses and chariots. And if you go to the next slide, we can contrast Pontius Pilate. This is imperial. This is a power empire. This is a march into Jerusalem as the overpowering force. He represented the oppression on a city. There were soldiers and horses, and you can just imagine it in your mind, the parade of rubbing leather and stomping boots, horses. and like the awe that came over the people as they rode into town, this fear, this reminder of the oppression that they were living in. And that guy on that horse that's being paraded in, he's responsible for my grandmother's land that we no longer own. He's that guy, and all he stands for, everyone had to pay a tax to Rome. And that tax that they paid on their hard-earned money was building this guy temples and luxury and opulence. And here he comes as a reminder, riding into the city with his grand parade, with his soldiers, his empire, his power. And then there's Jesus, just on the other side of town in the east, knowing full well that he is the King of Kings. But what does he choose? Jesus chooses to show up to Passover on a donkey. Born in a manger, paraded in on a donkey, with a gospel of peace. He was instituting the kingdom of God. And he could have full well showed up as Pilate did with his horses and chariots. I mean, he's the God of angel armies. He could have. And the even more challenging thing, I think, for Jesus to understand is like the people were professing the same thing across town, because this whoever Caesar was or the ruler was, they were considered a son of God. That wasn't a unique name to Jesus. That was a Roman theology. They had considered their ruler to be a son of God, eternal. That these people were from heaven. They were gods. And so there's people on the other side of town. Caesar is Lord, and this generational baton has been passed that their ruler is God, and he will save the people. And so how much more do you think, in my mind, if I was going to set up a campaign or a procession to counter that kingdom, that I make sure it's bigger and louder and there's more miracles, right? Like just in our natural marketing mindset, you got to outdo them. Because this guy's claiming he's God, and I know full well he's not. But there's God with peasant people welcoming him into Jerusalem. His influence had begun to spread. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and people were starting to catch on. Maybe this man is from heaven. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe he is the one we've been waiting for. And he marches in to Jerusalem. And the beautiful thing about this is if we go back to, you don't have to go back on the slide, but as the people were saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest of heaven. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. The people still didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They thought, as sometimes we think, that Jesus came to create a new, I guess, society or overthrow society. I believe as a church we're called to all spheres of society. Seven mountains, we should be in media and family and all that. That's great. We should have influence. We can you know, turn the world upside down by being Christians present in the marketplace and just in all spheres of society. Ministry is not for the building. It's for outside of the building, right? We all believe that, and we walk in that. And so, yes, God is changing society, but the people still thought that Jesus was going to ride in on his donkey, take the throne, and start ruling like David. That there would be this human interaction of battle, that Jesus would counter the oppression of Caesar, of Pontius Pilate, with tactic and human methods and weapons of the world. But what Jesus is doing, he knows that society is not going to be changed from his influence. Society is going to be changed by the transformation of the human heart. And so Jesus enters Jerusalem with a different mission. His mission to ride into Jerusalem was to transform the human heart, to give humanity access to a father once again that would settle something on the inside, that would empower them to live in such a way that they turn the world upside down. It's a grassroots movement. And what I love about Holy Week and reflecting on what this means to us as a kingdom family, the kingdom of God, is that once again, our world is up in arms. I mean, across town, there's a procession. If you'd go there with me. Bree, you can come. You can come and play keys, Bree. I told you this is going to be short and sweet. But right now, across town, if you will, there's a procession. There's a kingdom of this world that is forcefully advancing to undermine and undertake an entire generation. And it's the same mindset, the oppression, the accumulative mindset to rule over people and lord over people. And what I'm reminded of on this Palm Sunday as we reflect on Jesus' entry into his final week of ministry on earth is that we must be of his procession. On a donkey, with humility, with a gospel of peace. Knowing full well what the world was going to try and intimidate and accuse. Knowing full well the ramifications of all their actions and what that would turn into with him being hung on a cross. But we have to choose his procession. So this morning, the message is really simple and it's really short. And I hope there's good imagery of Jesus being ushered in and the palm branches on the ground. And the beautiful thing about the palm branches is that they stood for victory. See, before Jesus even paid a price, before he went to the cross, the people had full confidence that Jesus had already won the victory. That they ushered him in with a reminder of him being God, Son of David. Hosanna, save us. They thought they were about to be saved from an oppressive dominion of society, but he was about to save some souls. They prophesied their future by saying, save us, save us, save us. And the method with which he saved the people was much different than they thought, but he's doing the same thing today. God, save us from ourselves. Save us from the oppression of this world. Jesus, we usher you in and say, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. We usher in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace. This morning, I just have faith to believe that as the people of God, as Jesus told his disciples who were arguing over who would be the greatest, he uses this phrase that we use often, not so with you. The kingdom of God is different. You don't have to strive and fight. It's not about us versus them. It's not a kingdom of strife. It's not a kingdom of power. It's not a kingdom of oppression. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of love, mercy, of righteousness, of justice, of flourishing. That's the kingdom we belong to. And the king of that kingdom, he chooses a donkey. Church, would you stand with me this morning as God ministers to us in this moment? So the reality is, We can take from Scripture and illustrate it to our modern day that there's an ongoing tension on the inside of us. There's two processions. There's two processions. One is very loud. One is making its best effort to rule your life, to make sure that you remember that you are a slave, to make sure that you remember that you stay in oppression. See, the kingdom that was once ruled by Pontius Pilate, it is held by the kingdom of darkness. There's an oppressor who roams. He's sneaky. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And he is coming into your life at times with a procession of military action and force to remind you that you're a slave, to remind you that you're just a little servant, to remind you that nothing is yours anymore. He took it all. Your dreams, your hopes, your future, he took it already. It's gone. And maybe for some of you, that is real inheritances. There's things that have been stolen from you, taken from you, misplaced. Maybe from some of you, just the events of life thus far has not given you permission or room to actually live out dreams, live out vision. I just want to tell you that that's a different kingdom. That's a different Lord. But I want us to choose the procession of the Lord of Lords, who makes a way to lead us into peace, to lead us into flourishing. He doesn't wage war the way that the world does. His kingdom's not of this world. It's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This morning, on Palm Sunday, might be a strange time to choose this, but I just really believe that people are going to be free from oppression. Like, I don't think necessarily Christians can be depressed. I'm sorry, possessed. They can be depressed. Possessed, but I think we can get oppressed by a kingdom that is so loud and noisy and stealing and killing and destroying. There's an oppression that can come over your life. But today on Palm Sunday, we fix our eyes on the King of Kings, the one whose kingdom supersedes and covers and brings freedom to the oppressed, the peasants who have been squashed, who no longer have an inheritance. Jesus came to save us. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. And if that's you this morning, if you just feel like you've been living under maybe a little bit of a fog, some sort of oppression, like the lights just aren't fully turning on for you, and there's a haze about life, and there's an inability to dream and hope of the future like you once thought because of this alternate kingdom that's been at work, that's been forceful on your life. If that's you, say, I relate to that. I feel like I've been oppressed. Would you just raise your hands in full confidence? Lift your hands. I just believe that God's going to bring freedom to that moment, to that situation. I'm responding this morning just in vulnerability to you. There's been a lingering gray. Been seeing a counselor, and what is this? And look, I love professionals. I'm going to keep going to a counselor. I'm going to see a doctor. I'm going to do whatever I need to do if there's something off inside of me. But my hope is in Jesus. My hope is that He turns the lights on for me. My hope is that He wakes you up with a passion, and He puts you to bed at night with the confidence that you're in His will, that you're loved. So if that's you, you just feel like you've been living under an oppression, again, lift your hands. And God, I ask right now, the King of Peace, the Gospel of Peace, we say Hosanna on this Palm Sunday. And God, we throw the palm branches out in front of you as you make your way in and say you already have won the victory. We don't have to strive. We don't have to fight for victory. We know that our fight is from victory. So God, whatever has been trying to steal, kill, and destroy in my life, in my friends' lives in this room this morning, I ask that you would silence it in Jesus' name. Again, just like we prayed in worship, silence the voice of the accuser among us in Jesus' name. We say, Hosanna. Save us. God, I ask that people's eyesight would physically be different as they go from this place, that they would see color, they would see life. God, that there would be an experience of emotion for people as they go from here. Part of what I'm going through is a reset on my adrenal system because of some of the intense events and traumas that we had experienced. And I know I'm not the only one. And God, I just ask that you would bring a jolt to our chemistry. God, you would hit the reset button, that you would go to adrenal glands and you would give us all we need. All we need in Jesus' name. That there would be a new spring in our step, a new awareness and a new presence to us interfacing with our family and our friends and our responsibilities. God, would we be there? Would we be present? Because we know that's why you came. To set the oppressed free. In our text here today, it was a city under the oppression, but God, we know we can be the same today. Thank you for the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of our God, the peace of God. peace of God. This morning, Beth said, we're wrapping up, I promise. Maybe. Beth said, I want you to remember this day in prayer. She was standing right here, April 14th, 2019. It's a shift day. It's a day where something significant happens. I believe that significance is an awakening to the body of Christ represented in this room. I'm just so hungry. So hungry. I know that in this week, in Holy Week, that the world's eyes are turning towards the cross, whether they believe or not, and they have to make a decision on what that means to them. So the best thing for the world is a church wide awake. The best thing for the world is a church wide awake, free from oppression, free from depression. So God, right now, I thank you for an awakening in your church, and may we remember this day, April 14th, 2019, when the lights came on, when the weight was lifted, that we walked in freedom. We walked into this new season with clarity and confidence who you are. Lord, I ask that, I pray for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as we go on this journey in the Holy Week, knowing full well the price that you will pay. Would it settle in us and move us like it never has before? Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Exalt you, Jesus. As we close, the question I want us to leave with today is, which procession are we in? Which procession do we want to be in? That was the question of Palm Sunday, and it's the question of every Christian that's alive today, is which procession are we in? Which kingdom do we belong to? And it's so applicable today. Would you say amen to our lives and wherever we find ourselves?
Well, I pray that you are feeling encouraged, inspired, and equipped to take on whatever you may be facing in this life. And hey, why don't you consider joining us? We meet every Sunday at the Clark Center in Arroyo Grande at 10 a.m., and it's always a good time. We'd love to have you with us. And for any more information, ways you can partner with us, please visit equipperscc.com. God bless.